Paramatma ki jai. Ujjwala Neelamani ki jai. Verse 2. Mukhya Rasheshu Puraya Sankshaino Padito Rahasya Twat Pritag Eva Bhakti Rasa Rat Sa Vistarena Uchyate Madura. Sri Rupa Goswami Pad says in Sanskrit, describes the subject of the book. Madhura Ras is the king of all Bhakti Rasas, which was described only briefly in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, among the chief rasas. Because of its confidential nature, that Madhura Ras is described in detail here in this book, Ujjwala Neelamani. So because this work will remain confidential with the devotees. So Ujjwala Neelamani, we don't see it being distributed in the airports, the parking lots, or in the rock concerts. Whereas Nectar of Devotion, we've distributed millions, trillions of them everywhere. Although that's quite esoteric and intimate and confidential, but it's kind of towards the end. The beginning is all, what is bhakti, and as you know, so many things. But this book is obviously this. Not everyone goes to postgraduate school. Not everyone enrolls in the PhD department. Many go to college. Many get a degree, but not everyone goes that far. Only the really special people. So then they're cracked. Waste so much time. So in bhakti, this is the Madhura Ras, this is the end of the line, Madhura Ras, the top of the line. So this is for those, this Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is for all Raghunuga Bhaktas, Rupanuga Bhaktas, all Gaudiya Vaishnavas, from beginning to end, at any time, for anyone, it's always Ras, according to one's adhikar and realization. And then you can perceive different amazing things even in this Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. But especially this is the foundation for Madhurya Ras is Ujjwala Neelamani. It's absolutely it's a necessary textbook. Everyone wants to read about Krishna's Leelas, but Rupa Goswami, we have to, Rupa Raghunatha Pade Hoibe Akuti. We should be very eager and anxious and enthusiastic to follow the way and method and teachings of Sri Rupa Goswami Pad and Sri Raghunath Das Goswami. Krishnadas Kaviraj, although he was well aware of the other four Goswamis, somehow when he was writing as Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is the summary and essence of all Lord Chaitanya's teachings, he felt compelled to remind everyone at the end of every chapter that this, whatever I'm giving you, is actually the mercy of Rupa and Raghunath. Rupa wrote the basic understanding of the Rasa Tattva and all the, not the basic, but the whole gamut of understanding of Rasa Tattva and Madhurya Ras. And then, because he's a Rasacharya, and wrote so much Rasa Shastra, and then Raghunath Das, Rupa Raghunatha Pade, Habai Hoive Akuti, he actually realized all the teachings of Sri Rupa, and you can see how grateful, how indebted and grateful Das Goswami Pad is to Rupa Goswami. And also you can see the greatly intimate relationship between Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami as sadhakas, which is indicative and also explained, indicative of their intimate, confidential relationship as co-kinkaris of Srimati Radharani, of course, with Rupa Manjari being the chief of all, the leader, and everyone being assistant. But among Rupa's selected group of intimate confidants, Tulsi Manjari, who is often sometimes called Rati Manjari, Raghunath Das Goswami is considered number one, top. So taking that from a Alokic Leela of Radha and Krishna and coming into the Sadaka Leela of Mahaprabhu, Krishna's Kaviraj is reminding us that they have an incredible intimate relationship, and we should always remember that these are our guiding lights. Like our eyes, if we have one eye, it's a little difficult to maneuver. And you can exist, but it's hard to walk and move. You can't judge things. You can't properly perceive your environment in terms of distance and depth, and it's very dangerous to have one eye. So the two eyes, this Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami, are the two eyes for the sincere sadhaka. We see through the eyes of the teachings of Rupa Goswami, one eye, and then the other eye. Let's say the right eye is Rupa Goswami, because the right side is a superior. And oftentimes right eye is stronger than some people. Right arm is stronger, because we use it all the time. And then left eye is Raghunath Das Goswami. So here we're given the mercy of Rupa Goswami, and what he's introducing us to, although he jumps right into it, but it's really, it seems like jumping into it because we're just starting from verse 1, but it's almost as if the teacher said, all right, we've just concluded Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and tomorrow we'll start. This would be the proper way to learn this. Go sit with the teacher and go through the whole Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and then start Bhakti 102 after Bhakti 101. So then everything was you learned and collected in your brain from the teachings of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu would be fresh and accessible and rememberable, so that those teachings are the foundation. So here he jumps right into the first verse. He says, This is the star, the superstar of the whole thing, Krishna. And his name is amazing, and his form is amazing, and his qualities are amazing. Now that's just my appetizer. I give some appetizer to start a meal. Karela or whatever, different ginger, different things. So then after that, the meal or the rest of the book is all the leela. The leela of Radha and Krishna. So unless one has kind of sees the whole thing together, that's what I did this morning. And I was seeing that these first few chapters he's describing the vibhav. Because the later chapters, something like 8 through 12, it starts a whole chapter in Udipan, and a whole chapter in Anubhav, and a whole chapter in Sattvic Bhav, and a whole chapter in Sanchari Bhav, and a whole chapter. All the four components of Ras are fully described in later chapters. And this chapter just is types of heroes, but actually, this is actually the Vibhav, because there's five factors in Ras. And the Stireti, there's also chapter 1 thing about these classes, it's hard to fall asleep because I'm speaking is rather like a monotone and like, oh, it's nice, lunch at 2 o'clock and class at 3. I'll sleep, it's so hot, I'm so tired, but then you go to sleep, boing, Hare Krishna. So this is a perfect blend of keep everybody awake, including the speaker. So there are chapters on Udipan, Anubhav, Sattvic Bhav, Vyavachari, and Stayi Bhav, and the types of Sringar Ras. So then the first, there is 15 chapters in this book, and the first 9 chapters are about Vibhav. So, using a little logic here, we're talking about 5 different factors which bring about the phenomenon of tasting and experiencing the astonishing wonderment of ecstatic, thrilling, rippling, overwhelming bliss and happiness when the entire mind and heart and senses and transcendental body are stimulated and excited by the loving exchanges with Krishna and his devotees, Ras. So there are 5 components. So the Of the five, there's 15 chapters. Sri Rupa Goswami Pada, a little Sankhya analysis here, like VIHE style. You know, he probably taught over there. I did too. I taught Brahma Samhita once and there years ago. It's on a recording, you know, on CD. Then there's 15 chapters. Basically, this book is 15 chapters to describe the five components of ras. What ras? The one and only topmost chief ras, mukhya ras, madhurya rati. Of the 15 chapters, the first 9, which is well over half the book, are all about the vibhav, which means Radharani and Krishna and the gopis, and then the surroundings. So that's just to kind of give you a mental, because we're going very slow, like a snail. We're just going one verse. So now we're going to be traveling this for a few kartiks through vibhav. It's just every day you eat something, and then you maybe take some sweet, a date, a raisin, whatever afterwards, piece of mystery, whatever you offer your Thakurji, because we don't have a kind of chuck-a-chuck-bog facility or ability to offer such fancy things. But at least some sweet, some raisins or banana or whatever. And if you have Giridhari, he's pretty mellow about the whole thing. Accepts it. So these classes in Kartik, I hope I live long enough to finish the book. Because the book is long, many pages. And I don't know how many pages are left. Wow, this is really, there's 1,100 pages in this book, and I don't have any in this Ujjala Nilamani, and it will always be that way. But my life has so many pages and chapters, but I don't know which page we're on or which chapter. Maybe the last chapter, last page. So then I just relish every minute of it, and that's the point. What's the hurry? Everyone's in a hurry, but we should not be in a hurry. We're in a hurry, but because everywhere it's told, and every saint, and every sadhu, and every shastra, it says, atapite deva prasada, atapite deva, says, leshana anagrita, prasada leshana grihita, janati tatvam bhagavan mahimno. This is from Bhagavatam. It says, if one just gets a little bit of mercy, Lesha means probably the same in Bengali, Lesha Anugraha, you know this is the same Hindi, Lesha Anugrahita, if he gets a little mercy from Krishna, then he can, Janati Tatvam Bhagavatam, he can understand the truth of Bhagavan. Just a little mercy. Atapite Deva Padam Bhajam Hare. A little bit of mercy from the lotus seat of Hari, means Krishna, or Hari Bhakta, the elevated Hari Bhakta, said that if you give mercy, then we can understand something about scripture, about Bhagavat, Bhakti Tattva and Bhakti Siddhanta. So this is now we're in this whole Vibhav section. So we'll discuss that as Rupa Goswami takes us through this vibhav. So basically, the whole kartik will be hearing about Krishna and Radharani and the gopis, which is anukulya for our whole life, and try to appreciate all the wonderful rasa-laden, realized words of Sri Rupa Goswami. Amazing. We're sitting down in class with three of the greatest saints in creation. Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Vishnu Chakravarti. In his time, Rupa Goswami Pad lived in the 15th century, and Sri Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he lived around 17th century, 1650 to 1750 AD. And often it's told in his biographies of Chakravarti Pad, as they say, that at his time, in contemporary times, people considered him to be the reincarnation of Rupa Goswami. In other words, there's something called the appendix. You write a book sometimes, and the epilogue or appendix, it comes at the end of the book. I don't mean the body part. It's a different spelling. The appendix, it comes at the epilogue. Sometimes there's some afterthought or some extra idea that they want to include that they forgot in their book. So they say that Rupa Goswami, he came back to just explain things a little more clearly. In other words, say you write a book and then you distribute it and people meet you after some years. I read your book, but it's a little unclear in some places. Which place? And then they tell you, okay, I'll write another book, or I'll try to explain that book. I'll write another book. And that first book I wrote was called Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. But now I'll write another little book to outline that book. And this book will be called Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Bindu. And that's what Vishnu Chakravarti did. He wrote a summary study of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu called Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Bindu. Because one's a Sindhu and one's a Bindu. Drop in an ocean. And then this very book we're looking at, and you can buy in the market, it's very small, very cheap in Lai Bazaar. He wrote, because then people were saying, Rupa, we don't understand some things, or it's very kind of big to swallow, 1,000 pages. Can you give some summary? So then Rupa came back as Vishwanath Chakravarti Pad, and he wrote Ujjwala Nila Mani Kiran. Very humble titles. The great acharyas, they always try to place themselves one step below the prior acharyas. Sanatan Goswami Pad wrote a commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam, I think only the 10th canto, if I remember. And he called it Brihad Vaishnav Toshini. Brihad Vaishnav Toshini. And then that's Sanatan. And then Jiva Goswami, who is his cousin, I think is his nephew. Jiva Goswami is Sanatan Goswami's nephew. He wrote also a book, commentary on the whole Bhagavatam, or 10th canto. It's called Lagu Vaishnav Toshini. So it gets confusing because oftentimes when writers and researchers and Gaudiyas, they cite some commentary. They say, this is from a Vaishnav Toshini commentary. But they don't say which one. And I have that problem when I'm reading books and trying to figure out if I want to say Sanatan Goswami says, but maybe Jiva Goswami is saying, because it says Vaishnav Toshini. So it's always a little like things like that. Keep you guessing. So this was, we heard in verse 2, we just finished, that this Madhura Rasa is the king of all bhakti rasas. It was only described briefly, and that's what we mentioned. Now, Vishnu Chakravarti comments on verse number 2, and he said, he's commenting on this verse, and in the last chapter of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which is part 3, chapter 5, I don't remember what that's about, maybe overlapping mellows, or rasabhas, I think, or no, stai rati, that's included. I forget. Anyway, chapter 5. And he wrote one verse, he says, though this ras, this is after he's describing the Madhurya ras. Rupa Goswami is telling Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, though this Madhura Rasa has many components, it will only be described in summary, because this is the very beginning of chapter 5, which was talking about Madhurya Rasa. This is verse 2, 3, 5, 2, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It's difficult to understand. It will be described in summary here. Why? One, because it's difficult to describe. Two, because of its confidential nature, and three, not everybody is ready for it, because it's unsuitable for those who have no taste for Madhura Rasa. If you tell a child, a 10-year-old child or 8-year-old child, you say, "Oh, I want to tell you a nice love story about." They'll say, "What do you? I don't know. What is a love story? What is?" They can't understand. They're only 5 years old. They don't know what that means. They know about comedy and other things. But so then he says, unsuitable. So commenting on this verse, which is echoed again here, that this Madhuras is a king, because he's saying it was described in detail here, because this is for the confidential devotees. So Vishnath says, the three reasons that Rupa Goswami, he gives for not describing the ras. It's unsuitable for those that have no taste, and it's difficult to understand, and it's secret. And the present verse, Madhur Ras, the king of all bhakti rasas, he says, is... In the present verse, only the secret nature is mentioned, since that secret nature includes the two other reasons. Oh, that's far out. It's the chief among the rasas because it's a confidential nature. Oh, I see. Only in this verse number 2, Rupa Goswami, he says that this ras, mukhya ras, this is the mukhya ras, and it's rahasya, rahasya twat. Like we say Naratvat, you know this term, Krishna's Leela, Radha Krishna's Leela, like human beings on this planet is called Naratva, like the quality of human beings. So it's Rahasyatvat. That's what the verse says. So then Vishnu says, why? He says Rahasya, and then he reflects this verse, which also Jiva Goswami does, and he does also. Remember, he connects this verse to Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And now he's explained. Here, Rupa Goswami just says that Madhuri Ras is confidential and secret. And then now he says, why? Because if you don't have taste, then it's not suitable. This topic is unsuitable even for those who have given up the material path and even for those devotees who have a taste for Shanta Dasya Sakya Vatsali Ras, but they don't have a taste for Ujjvala Ras. Since they see it as material, seeing it from the point of view of lust, their own lust. Very nice analysis. So this is very confidential. And for those that are in a lower rasas or lower aspiration to worship Radha and Krishna, they oftentimes say, they even sometimes say, what is this? And so this is the warning. Okay, stop. Wait a minute, stop. This is the border, India and Pakistan. Where's your passport? Where's your visa? You don't have permission to go here. You go back. So right here he's saying, oh, stop. Inspection. This is very confidential. And then the reader says, well, what do you mean? And then Vishnu says, if you don't have any taste for this, and Jiva Goswami says also, if you don't have taste for Madhura Ras, or if you think it's material, or if you think it's lusty affairs, or if you become agitated with lust, or mentally or physically disturbed by exposing or seeing or reading about such exchanges of divine love between Radha and Krishna, then you go back to your country. you don't have the visa. You maybe have the passport. Passport means I'm a devotee. Passport means I'm initiated. Passport means I'm a Gaudiya Vaishnava. But visa, do you have the Madhurya Rasa visa? That will come by the mercy of Krishna and Guru. Bhagavan Karunya, Matra Bhakta Karunya, Lobaika Raganuga Bhakti. Hetu. Macha Hetu. Says in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.309 that the Macha Hetu, the only cause for starting Raganuga Bhakti is the mercy of Krishna or the devotee. Bhagavan Va Bhakta Karunya. Lobaika greed, you know, to have that interest. So that can come from last life, Sarasanga, or this life. So let's read verse 3. Pakshamaner Vibhavadye Swadyatam Madararati Anita Bhakti Rasa Prokto Madarakyo Manishibi. It's actually very, very beautiful flow of syllables and language. It's so nice. This is a book of philosophy. But Rupa Goswami, these great six Goswamis, they're writing Tattva and Siddhanta. But it's so poetic and so beautiful. And all perfect compositions. And they didn't have, delete and, erase and start again. They took some metal stylus and etched it onto palm leaves. And they did all the editing in their brain, not online or on the screen. And then once done, done forever. Once done, done right, and done right forever. That's how they wrote. And modern conditioned souls who write, and they go to some school to learn writing, that they'll teach you, they say, what is the art of writing? Write, rewrite, and rewrite. Write it, and then look at it, and then edit it, and then rewrite it, and then look at it, and edit it, and rewrite it. In other words, keep trying until you get something. But they were perfect with just the first try. They didn't have any, didn't have to write it again. So it's very nice to appreciate all what's going into what we're receiving. What is the background and we're down here collecting the water from the river, but where does it start? We're way far away from the mountain and from the Nadi Mukh, the mouth of the river, Gangotri, Jamunotri, and we're drinking the pure Yamuna water. So far from the source. We thought, this water is very nice. But do we ever think about the source and remember that? So Rupa Goswami, what gems he's giving us. So now he's starting to unfold about Madhura Ras. He says, when Madhura Rati becomes tasty with the presence of Vibhav, Anubhav, Sattvic Bhav and Samchari Bhavs, there are different kinds of emotions and feelings all mixed together. Like sometimes we may be happy, we're happy with our husband, but then that happiness, we're happy, but then sometimes we get angry at the same moment. The Stai Rati is, I'm the wife, he's the husband. So I'm happy, but then I become unhappy, I become angry. So many moods mixed together. So he's saying these will be described subsequently. And all these together is called Bhakti Ras. So Jiva Goswami's commentary. In his commentary, he actually gives us an outline of these five components which makes Bhakti Ras. Bhakti Ras, we can also say, it makes up Madhurya Ras. In other words, the taste of bhakti, the taste of love, the taste of devotion in the conjugal relationship of Radha and Krishna is called Madhurya Rati. That's the relationship. Is the Rati means the love, the attachment. And what's experienced, what you taste in that Rati, that Stahi Rati, is the Ras. Rati means your, Stahi means stan. I mean, place, lilastali, lilastan. Permanent, fixed, unsteady foundation of emotion. It's like the ocean of emotion. The ocean is fixed in one place. But sometimes it increases its, it rises very high in the shore and increases its volume, apparently coming very high on the beach. And sometimes there's big waves in the ocean. So these are just various changes and of the ocean. So that's same way in the ocean of Staiba, there's different moods and different feelings and rising and falling and mixing and combining and expanding and creating different expressions and voluntary reactions and involuntary reactions. Like you may feel so happy with your relationship with Krishna, so then a voluntary bhav will be to yell out, "Hey Radhe Krishna!" So that was conscious and voluntary. You yell out, "Radhe, Jai Radhe," because of the overwhelming experience of the bliss you're experiencing in your actual. I mean, I'm not saying about some madman or something, but I'm talking about a bhava bhakta or a premi bhakta. He may yell or shout in ecstasy. Lokavaya, not care. Lokavaya nevichar, not care about the opinion of the outside people. Lokavaya. So here we're going to hear a short summary of the definition. Jiva Goswami is giving us the definition of the five elements. Krishna Rati, the generic, all the Krishna's bhaktas, they have Rati. They have an intense Rati. Rati means love, attachment, feeling. And it's affixed. They have a fixed Rati. Like with one's husband, that Rati is fixed. What is the Rati? Madhura Rati. In my husband, his conjugal relationship. And that'll never change. As long as you're in this body and you're married, that's permanent. And then with your mother and father, that's Vatsalya Rati, that's permanent emotion. So all the different devotees, they have Dasya Rati, Sakya Rati, and that all that Rati and attachment is directed towards one, Krishna. So there's Krishna Rati. There's one Rati, one type of attachment, loving mood that everyone has within their hearts towards Krishna. Krishna Rati expressed as Dasya Rati. Krishna Rati expressed as Shanta Rati. Krishna Rati expressed as Vatsalya Rati. And Krishna Rati expressed as Madhura Rati. A sweet, erotic, conjugal mood. So now, this is the Staivav. And then these are these components and supporting moods which make it work. So the first one is vibhav. There's vibhav. What they usually say is vibhav means vishesh bhav. Important, because there's stai rati, and for stai rati to go anywhere, you need the vibhav. The vibhav is the starting point. So vishesh, it's very necessary, it's very special. So vibhav means, who's going to be tasting ecstasy here? We're going to taste love, we're going to taste happiness as coward boys, or happiness as friend and servant, or happiness as mother and son, or happiness as lovers or wives or husbands, whatever. So who's tasting? Who's experiencing? Who's going through this? Who are the actors? So this is vibhav. Vibhav. Vibhav includes the hero and the heroine, and the vibhav includes the surrounding elements. Vibhav includes the clothing. The clothing is part of the vibhav. The hair, the body parts, the flute. The seasons, the sun and the moon and the environment and the birds and the sounds, many, many things go together. They're all also included in vibhav under a particular category. It's called udipan. Udipan is that apana. Udipana means that those elements, components which push the hero and heroine. Like if I'm walking along with Radharani, say Krishna's walking along with Radharani, and he's walking through, just walking along in a hot sun somewhere because there are six seasonal forests at Radhakund, so Radha and Krishna walk through the summer forest, like now. We're in the Grishma, it's called Grishma Ritu. We're in the Grishma Ritu. Grishma means hot. We're in the hot summer. We thought summer was over, But actually, those that live in Vrindavan for some time, they realize there's two seasons in Vrindavan only. Generally in India, there's six and maybe coming down. But in Vrindavan, very special, there's two seasons. Do you know that? One season is called Garam, the hot season. There's hot dry season, and there's hot, wet season. So in the beginning of the hot season, there's no humidity. Humidity means water, sweating, Humidity, perspiration. There's no humidity; is very low. It's very, very hot, but you don't feel too uncomfortable. And then the rainy season comes, but doesn't get cool. It's still hot, but now that water lying in the earth mixes with the air and creates humidity. So now it's still hot. It's hot April, May, June, July, August. And now it's September, 6 months hot. And then even going into October, you could say 7 months, 7 months hot. April, May, June, July, August, September, October. We're in October. It's not cold, especially if you're from Russia. If you're Indian, you're from way up there, it's really hot. But so it's 7 months. So of those 7 months, three or four were dry, three or four are wet. Right? Then after this comes the winter. The winter season. Then there's dry winter. Dry winter. And then it's very, the nights are very clear and very dry in October and November and then mid-December. And towards the end of December until February, middle, then it's very cold, but it's very wet. And there's something falling from the air. It's called os. Os? Os. Os. We say dew. Morning dew. D-E-W. Dew. And when you go outside on the grass, it's a little wet. It's very good for the eyes, actually, to walk on that grass. You know that? Walk on the grass. It's good for your kidneys and for your eyes. So then, it's wet. And we're sleeping outside practically all the time under the stars in the braj on the roof or wherever in Bagicha. But when the wet season comes and it's cold for one thing, it's cold and then that dew comes and anyone that's outside, they all go inside because it's very unhealthy. That water falls on you. So these are in braj. I mean, I'm 30 years observing. 30 years I'm living here. I never left. So this is. The actual fact, isn't it? You understand? You can agree. So there's two seasons, hot and cold, bus. Hot and cold, and Grishma Maina and Tanda Maina, whatever you want to say. Shirsha Ritu and Grishma. No, that's not. That's another thing. But in Hindi, they say Shrisha. Shrisha means when Shita may be cold, but Shrisha when it's dew, when it's cold in water. Shrisha. Maybe I'm wrong. You know better. So anyway, that's a little braj guitar mixed in with the Alamani. But this is and that's part of the vibhav also because it's called a lamban when it's really hot. So now you can imagine what I mean to say is here's an example of Udipan. Radha and Krishna are walking through the Grishma Ritu, is how I started my tangent. And it's very, very, and the sun is shining, it's very, very hot. Now, this blazing sun and this season are not so much anukulya or favorable for romance. This feature of nature, blazing, scorching hot sun and hot heat being overheated, it's not very encouraging. It doesn't excite. It's not udipan. It doesn't uto. It doesn't excite the heart of the lover or beloved. But the same Radha and Krishna are walking through the monsoon forest, because there's six seasonal forests, Sad Rituvan, around the Radhakund. I mean, actually in the Lita's Van, I believe, the Lita Anandara Van. There are these six seasonal forests or all around, but I think inside there. So they go inside they visit these six seasons. So when they come in the Sharad Ritu, the fall season, then they're walking in the same, and they're walking along together. Now it's the deep forest, and then it's night, and the moon is shining through the trees, and just kind of small little moonbeams are dancing on Radharani's golden face. And Krishna's seeing her, and he's thinking, and now now the moon has become an udipan, a stimulant, an excitant for the vibhav, alamban. Alamban means foundation. The word alamban means a foundation. There's no ras without people. So the foundation of ras is people. So that vibhav, so vishesh means vish. Vishesh, we say vibhav, means it all begins here, the necessary element. Because already, automatically, from birth, everyone has certain kind of set emotional relationships. So this that's called Sthayi Rati. But when they talk about Rasa Tattva, they always start, it's very interesting, because by my Western logic, I always start talking about I would start talking about the topic of the five elements of rasa by starting with Sthayi Bhava. Because I thought, you know, that we're going to talk about Madhura Rasa, and this is what Madhura Rasa is, the Sthayi Rati, explaining all of what it is, and that's what this whole chapter, you know, the Sthayi Rati chapter, Sthayi Bhava chapter here, you can see this, these are the subjects in the Sthayi Rati chapter. The causes for Madhura Rati and the types of and all these things. But all of our acharyas, they start not with the Sthayi Rati, but with the Vibhav, which means the people. So that means that's the most important, of the five bhavas, the most important thing is the Vibhav, the hero and the heroine. And then they have their Sthayi Rati of Madhura Rasa. So this is the first component is Vibhav. And he just says that in Ras, the Vibhav is known as the cause of relishing Rati, or love, Prem. And they take the form of the support, Alamban, having two types and stimuli, Udipan. So then he says, Alamban. Any object, the Alamban is to be Krishna as the object of love and his devotees as the experiencer of love, subject. Prema Shraya, like we say, Alamban, Vibhav, Alamban, Prema Shraya. The shelter of Prema is the devotee, generally. It changes sometimes. But it's the devotee. Radharani is the Madaras Ashraya, and the Vibhav. And then the Vibhav Vishaya. Prema Vishaya, the one who receives Radharani's love, she's the reservoir of love and the recipient or the subject of love, is Krishna. He's the Vibhav. So then he says that the Udipans, they are things. He says Udipans are things. In other words, Vibhav Alamban. Radhi Radhi Ma. The Vibhava Lamban are the people, persons, Radha and Krishna. Then the Vibhav Udipan are the things, moonshine, seasons, clothing, flute, many things. So he just says that the things which nourish the Bhav. And then when the heart becomes overwhelmed by loving feelings and bhavas in relationship to Krishna, either directly or indirectly, the learned call this sattva. Then that sattvic, you know, the sattva, we discuss that. The transformations which arise from this sattva are called sattvic bhavas. You know, crying and trembling and changing color, all that. So, it's a very summary thing. He just says the eight sattvic bhavas are paralysis. That means becoming stunned. Perspiration, erect body hairs standing on end, choking of the voice, trembling, changing color. Changing color doesn't mean you go from red to green or blue to purple. Or maybe blue to purple, but you just some shade. Like when someone is afraid, they say in the West, if someone's very afraid, they turn white. They become very pale. I mean, they're white-skinned people. So Indians, they may have golden or brown color skin or whatever. So in different times, different emotional situations, in fear or happiness, there's certain glow and tinge or hue of color overtakes or is expressed through the chamri, through the skin or complexion. If someone is very angry, their eyes may get red and their skin may flush with a reddish color because of the increase in blood flow, which makes it because of anger. So in these different emotional exchanges of Radha and Krishna, sometimes the sattva, their existence, their being becomes disturbed by different emotions, and so their body shows different colors. There's one beautiful name for Radharani that's called Kunkumangi. Kunkum. Kunkum is something ladies put on the top of their breast, like married ladies, a little red powder, some kind of natural powder. Or maybe they put in, I don't know, wherever, Kunkum. Yeah, Kunkum. Maybe. Yeah, well, that's sindur. Kunkum is one thing and sindur is lead. You look up in the dictionary, sindur is some kind of powdered lead oxide, lead, L-E-A-D. And kunkum is some other substance, but also red. They're both red. Kunkum is more bright red, fire engine type red. And anyway, so this Radharani's name is Kunkum Angi. Angi means limbs or body, and kunkum. So that can, one meaning of Kunkum Angi from one level is that Radharani, her body is beautifully adorned with kunkum. Sometimes kunkum is a cosmetic powder, a body powder. In the modern terms, ladies have perfumes and lotions, and our men also, they have body powders. Body powders they sprinkle around here and there. It can be sandalwood powder or any type of fragrant powders they use. You know, they have face powders and things like that they use. So this similar there. So Kunkumagni means that. Radharani's limbs are adorned with this beautiful, brilliant red color. But now the other rasic meaning our acharyas give is that Kunkumangi is describing a very sweet time of Radharani. And what time is that? That's when Radharani is experiencing the height of ecstasy in her intimate exchanges with Krishna and her amorous affairs in the kunja. In Nibrita Nikunja Ratike Lila. Nibrita Nikunja Ratike Lila. Then Radharani becomes so flushed with enthusiasm and excitement and elated. Her heart is just jumping in bliss, so to speak. And then her whole color floods with this, or let's say, displays this beautiful radiance of kunkum. Her body is naturally golden. Taptakanshana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. Naturally, it often says like gold, like lightning. Tadit Sivarna Champaka Pradipta Gaura Vigrahe. Tadit Sivarna Champaka. So the Shankara Bhagavan, Shivji, he was trying to describe Radharani's transcendental complexion. He says, Tadit Suvarna Champaka, Pradipta Gaura Vigrahe. That Radharani's, her form, her Gaura Vigraha, Radharani's golden form, Gaura Vigraha, Radharani's golden form. What color is it? Oh, she's golden. But no, she's golden, not exactly golden, she's Tadit Suvarna Champaka, Pradipta Gaura Vigrahe. Pradipta Gaura Vigrahe. So all these words. So first, they're all combined together. First, it says, Tadit Suvarna. Tadit. Tadit means she's like brilliant gold, like lightning. Radharani's like lightning gold, brilliant. Ujvala. Then Tadit Suvarna. Suvarna means gold. Suvarna. And Champak means there's different types of flowers. This is Champak, or these are Champak trees. Big, shiny leaves. And they have different colors. We have one that gives red champak, and we have most of them give white with a little yellow center, white petals with a yellow center, yellow smile in the middle of a white face, whatever, I don't know. But there are champak flowers, which you can get in Calcutta and Bombay and very, maybe Bangalore-type places. They're called golden champak. And they look a little different even by construction. But they're called champak, but they're not, the petals are not shaped the same. And in the middle of the flower, there's looks like a piece of makan. Makan, corn? How do you say mucky? Mucky, corn, you know, corn? Corn, sabji, corn, C-O-R-N. Mucky. Yeah, maka. Makai. Looks like that. And then the petals are surrounding it. But very, very fragrant. And I tried 3 or 4 times to plant the tree here. I brought from Bombay. A very funny story. Once one of my friends, he Because we tried little trees and they all died because it's too hot or too cold for the tree. Nobody has such a tree around here. But I thought, let me try for Radharani Seva. So one time I said, bring me a really healthy big tree from Bombay. So then my friends called me and said, we have one tree that's 10 feet long. I mean, what do you say? 3.5 meters high. And I said, really, how are you going to bring it? We're going to bring it on the train. No, so we have this tree, but how are we going to get it on the train? You can't carry such a big tree on the train. And they're going on AC, these people. I say, listen, just pray to Radharani. You pray to Radharani that I have to bring this tree to Radharani Bagicha so we can offer these golden chambak flowers to Radharani. And then you bring it on the train. And then the conductor is going to stop you and say, what is this? This is this huge, big pot. And a big, what they call gamla. Big pot, and because it's a tree, but it's in a big ball of dirt. It's a big ball of dirt wrapped in, was in clay pot. It was big. Big diameter, big tree. So then, when they were, the first thing is, I told them on the phone, I said, just preach to the conductor. Say, listen, this tree is going to Vrindavan. It's going to the holy land of Vrindavan. It's going to be used in the service of Radha and Krishna. Please let us bring this tree on the first class sleeper car, the AC train. And I said, oh, and they said, no, it can't be done. I said, it can be done, do it. So then they called me and said, they told me the whole leela of this tree, that when they were on the station platform, the police at the station in Mumbai, they thought they were smuggling, it was too strange. They thought, what is this big tree? There must be drugs inside the earth. So they had all these dogs come over and sniffed the tree to see if there's any drugs hidden inside the earth. So they got through that test. And then when they got on the train, the conductor he flipped out. I mean, he was a little fried out. He was a little surprised. Then they preached to him what I said. And he said, okay, just you bend it, somehow bend it in such a way and keep it in that little space where the bathrooms are. So the whole bathroom area of the train was taken up by this jambak tree. And somehow it showed up in Radhakund, but its fate went the other way. It was good, actually. It was a very good, happy ending for that tree. Because the tree was born in Mumbai and it died in Vrindavan. We're jivas. We're also jivas, jivatmas, and the tree is a jivatma. And the tree was able to, I mean, that jiva... Our prayer day and night is somehow or other, wherever I go, however I go, wherever I am, however I am, let me leave my body in Vrindavan. At least that'll be very beneficial for my soul. So this jiva got great fortune. He made everyone have a nice leela, engaged everyone in a wonderful leela for Radharani Seva, and then he did his seva as much as he could. Then he got liberated. Winter came and he thought this is a good season. Because he came in the Dakshinarayan and he lived for some time in the Bagicha and just started to make a flower or two. Then the winter time came and he thought, oh, this is Uttarayana. If anyone leaves their body or dies in Uttarayana when the sun moves in the north from December 22nd to June 22nd, then they go up. They go to higher planets. If you die in the other part of the time, you go down. That's a general rule. But of course, the tree died, the jiva tree jiva, died in Radhakund, in the service of Radharani. I mean, heroes that died in the Mahabharata, the Kshatriya law is that if you die in the cause of battle, then you get liberated. You go to Swarga Mukti. So this tree died in the cause of Radharani's service. So what kind of promotion? Maybe it came back as another tree over here. Who knows? Or maybe one of you. God knows. Because it's been a while. So we'll continue this Ujjal Nilamani tomorrow. And all these different rasas. And we'll read a little bit more about Vibhav. Tomorrow we'll read a little bit more about Vibhav from some of my notes to get a more clearer picture.